First guest this afternoon is Barry McGovern. He is the Granada artist in residence and the director of The Buckeye, which is a play that opens tomorrow. It's a Derek Mahan adaptation of the Euripides original. You might also know the work of Barry McGovern from his work as an actor. He's appeared in movies such as Billy Bathgate, Braveheart, and Far and Away. But now he's here in the studios of KDVS, and we're going to talk about this play and other topics. Barry McGovern, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, delighted to be here.
Good to have you here. And I always look forward to conversations with the Granada artists in residence. And I'm wondering if you could say something about how you were recruited to come teach and direct and inspire here at UC Davis.
Well, I was doing a play in Los Angeles earlier this year. I was doing Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett at the Mark Taper Forum. And John Iacovelli was designing the set. And he asked me one day if I'd be interested in coming to Davis to be this Granada artist in residence. I'd never heard of this before. He told me he worked at Davis, and designed a lot of sets around the Los Angeles area and elsewhere. And he told me about it, and then the head of theatre and dance last year, Peter Lichtenfels, came down to see the show and met me after the show. We had a bite to eat and a drink, and we talked about it, and he said, "Would you like to come down?" So I said, "I'd think about it." It was something different for me because I'm not a teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a director. I'm an actor. I have taught occasionally doing classes like, what they call master classes or workshops or that sort of thing, often on tour here in America when I've been touring with the Gate Theatre of Dublin or the Abbey Theatre or whatever. I haven't directed for many years. I have directed some opera and some plays many, many years ago, but I haven't been doing that of late. So he said, come over, teach a class twice a week and then do a play of your choice, direct a play of your choice with the students. So I said, yeah, I might be interested in that, but just leave it with me for a while. So then I went home, he emailed me and said, well, do you want to come? And I said, well, okay, fine. He says, you can come this coming quarter if you wish, meaning, the one we're in now. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that because, I'm not getting any younger and maybe if I leave it, I'll never do it. So here I am teaching acting, whatever that, how you can teach acting, I don't know. But I'm trying to impart some of my knowledge of the craft to the students that I have twice a week for 3 hours each session. And then I'm directing Euripides' The Buckeye at night. This was a play that was actually suggested by, it was my choice ultimately to do what I wanted. But Peter suggested The Buckeye to me. And I had seen it. I'd never read it, but I'd seen it. I might well have had it at home in these volumes that one tends to have of a lot of plays that you mightn't necessarily have read because you bought it for one reason, for one play or something. Anyway, I had seen it a couple of years ago in New York, actually, done by the National Theatre of Scotland, and I think it was the Lincoln Centre Festival. So I thought, let me have a look at it. So I looked at a few different translations, and I found this one by Derek Mahan, who's one of Ireland's leading poets, which I really liked. It's got a contemporary feel to it. It's a sexy feel to it. It's got a rock and roll feel to it. It's contemporary in its tone, in its syntax, and its kind of its whole... There's a kind of rock and roll feel to it, so I kind of liked it. So I said, this would be great for students. So I suggested doing this and this version, and they were happy to go along with it. So I arrived here eight and a half weeks ago, only a week and a half left.
Right.
So we open tomorrow night, so here we are.
Excellent. Good for you. When you talk about the rock and roll feel, was it that particular tone in Mahan's poetry that inspired you to say... make the gods of ancient Greece be actual rock and roll musicians of the 1970s?
Well, this play is unusual in the sense that most Greek plays have a male chorus. This is a female chorus. The female chorus are Bacchants or Bacchae, who are followers of Bacchus, which was another name for Dionysus.
Right.
He is a god, and he is the leading character in the play. Normally a god plays a small part in these plays. He comes in at the end, this deus ex machina, or god from a machine, because quite often the god sort of solved everything by coming in at the end literally on a machine, being like a crane or something, and being untouchable up there. Nobody can get at him, so he can dictate whatever thing he's doing. So this phrase, deus ex machina, god from a machine, is still used, of course, nowadays for somebody who comes on at the end of the play and sorts everything out.
Right.
But... So this is unusual that a god was the leading character. And what I thought was, he's got all these chorus of Asian women, as Euripides called it, because the East was a very exotic place then. Probably still is to a lot of people. Yeah. But anyway, so I thought, well, if this guy's a god, I mean, we need to do it in a contemporary style. We don't really know how the Greek plays were done. They were done with masks, and they think, the so-called experts, and they were done with perhaps a lot of chanting and a lot of very formal sort of choric work and movement and so on, as far as they can judge. So, you know, you don't want to bore the pants off people. You want to make this entertaining. It's about 80 minutes long. It's straight through. Mahan's version was in two acts, but the original was in one act. I decided to put the whole thing back into one act again. I just tried to make the lead guy what would be a contemporary god. So I sort of we honor Mammon as much as God nowadays, whatever God is and whatever Mammon is, but they're all gods, I guess. So I thought, well, a contemporary film star, rock star, something, and then the chorus of Asian women that follow him could be groupies following the rock star.
Sure.
And I made them into kind of cheerleaders with pom poms and kind of, you know, they've got this choral stuff with their praising Dionysus or Bacchus all the time. And the central conflict of the play is with a character called Pentheus, who's the king of Thebes, basically, which is where it's set. All these plays in Greece seem to be set in Thebes for one reason or another. I think there were theatre festival plays and there as opposed to Athens. And so that's what I've done. He's a kind of like an African or South American dictator type, you know, and he's got his soldiers, and he refuses to recognize the god. And that's where the conflict of the play is. And he's for the rules and regulations, although he's a hypocrite because he has a weakness where he wants to spy on the Bacchic women who go up the hills and do strange things, you know. They're normal. See, Agave, who's Pentheus' mother, comes in towards the end of the play, and she's got her Bacchic followers who are like housewives of Thebes, if you like, who've gone crazy up on the hills. So what the play really is about the conflict between sensuality and a sort of strict way of life. It really says that everybody needs to party and let their hair down every now and again. But, you know, excess can lead to catastrophe.
And so a focus then on moderation then, not always embracing excess? Because certainly with Bacchus, we think of him in part as the god of excess in the form of revelry and wine and so forth.
Yes, that's right. And revelry, wine, sexual love, music, all the things that give pleasure to the senses. So, yeah, I mean, It is a conflict between. It's not the moral. There's no moral of the play saying this should all be in moderation. But it means that if you do not recognize the god, if you do not recognize the need for carnival, the need to party, that you're going to have a very strange state in Pentheus's case, and or a strange way of life. You know, like some totalitarian regime. You need to have a time to play. So that's the kind of, but it's also quite merciless because, like, when the god says something, he means it, and the exile of Agave and Cadmus is kind of terrifying at the end. And of course, a brutal act has taken place without giving the game away too much. But well, no, we let people come and see what happens in the play because there's a lot of sex and violence, you know.
Right. It's and we should tell people it's PG-13. Which is quite provocative and titillating for some people, and they often want to know why. We've had some nudity in plays over at Celeste Turner Wright Hall. There's been frank discussions of sexuality, but for this play, it's more violence and the threat of violence more than.
Yes, but in the Greek play, there's no sexuality as such. I mean, the theme is harped upon, but there's no nudity. I mean, they're cheerleaders' costumes, which will show a lot of flesh, but nothing, you know, untoward. There's the violence tends to be all offstage, and there tend to be these messengers who come in describing these things that happen, and there's gross violence takes place offstage, but it's described. It's just like in Oedipus, you know, when when Oedipus drives his eyes out of his head in anguish and remorse. We hear the story of that and how Jocasta hangs herself and so on. But it's told in these marvellous speeches. And then Oedipus comes in blinded towards the end of the play. But we don't actually see graphic violence the way you do so much in movies nowadays.
Right.
Which kind of dulls your senses a bit. It's much more interesting and much more graphic if it's actually reported than if it's actually seen sometimes. Although some of the violence you do see nowadays is very gratuitous and actually doesn't necessarily have the same... It may be disgusting, but it doesn't have the same horror effect sometimes dramatically as reported violence.
Right, absolutely. Well, if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. And Barry McGovern is my guest this afternoon. He's the director of a production of The Buckeye. We've been talking about it. It opens tomorrow, Thursday, November 29th, and runs through Saturday, December 8th. And that's at the Main Theater at Wright Hall. And would it be previews tomorrow and then opening night? Is that considered Friday?
No, we open tomorrow night. I think it goes to December the 9th. I think there's a matinee on Sunday the 9th as well,
okay.
As far as I can remember. Yeah, we open tomorrow night, you know, straight in. There's no previews for this. This is the final dress rehearsal tonight, and then we're into it tomorrow night, straight in, like
Excellent.
The old days.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the dress rehearsal, and I know that it was probably a lot of fun for your costume designers to imagine how do we represent those terrific costumes of the 1970s that say, Elton John or David Bowie would wear on stage with the Buckeye.
Well, you're way ahead of me there because I've got to mention that each time Dionysus appears a la Rockstar, he's appearing in a different costume, which is kind of redolent of the era of the 70s / 80s. You mentioned David Bowie and Elton John, and there's, is it Janet Jett or whatever her name is?
Yeah, there's
Joan Jett, and Kiss and these kind of people. I was a 60s man, so, yeah. So there's all that. So there's different. So there's carte blanche for costumes there. The herdsman is a cowboy, which seemed right, and he's got a reported speech as well. He's like another messenger. Then there are soldiers, and there are two speeches by soldiers in the play, and I made them female soldiers because modern armies are females as well as males. So there's only one female. I mean, apart from the chorus, which are women, there's only one main character as a woman. So I thought we'll give them a chance and. We have two very good people to play those, so I'm using women for the two soldiers.
And modern theater productions at universities and in communities typically have more women than men.
They do.
Available.
Yeah, my class, I teach class 17, and there are 3 men and 14 women in the class, which is very unbalancing. We're doing scenes, so a lot of the women have to read men's parts from time to time, which is okay in the context of a classroom, but it would be better if there were more men, you know, really to balance it, but that's just the way it is. And then so many people auditioned for the play, and there are probably far more women. But then there's a women's chorus. So, I mean, anybody who auditioned who didn't get a principal part, it was a game to play, be in the chorus. Everybody's in.
When Euripides spoke of a chorus of women from the East, did he use the Greek equivalent of Asian? And do you have actual Asian women in the chorus?
There's a lot of Asian women in Davis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we have a few. They're not all Asian, but it doesn't matter. They're a chorus of women. That's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this production. Let's remind folks that it's called The Buckeye. And if you want tickets, you can visit the website of the Department in Theater and Dance, which I think is theateranddance.ucdavis.edu. My guest is Barry McGovern. We're going to take a quick break and hear a public service announcement regarding the Linux Users Group of Davis. And then when we return, I'm going to ask the Granada Artist in Residence, Barry McGovern, about working with the students here at UC Davis, both as a visiting professor this quarter and also as the director of the Buckeye. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.